Business Leaders of Today is presented by Tess Turin, marketing and advertising consultant, and Angel Nowlin, who specializes in business insurance and asset protection.
TGIF, everyone, and welcome to Business Leaders of Today. Our show today is going to introduce you to the business leaders in the Atlanta metro area. I am Angel Nowlin with the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency, your business insurance specialist. And my sidekick here is Tess Turin.
Hello, Tess Turin with Basica Marketing.
Good morning, Tess. How are you?
Wonderful. And you?
You know what? The sun is shining. I have not seen the sun in 2 weeks almost. It's a good day.
I'm telling you, I thought I was living in Seattle there for a minute.
Okay, it is a great day. So we have a terrific show for you all today. Our studio guests are Joe Moss with Embassy National Bank. Good morning, Joe.
How are you?
I am great. And yourself?
I'm good.
And our other guest is Chris Horn with Atlanta PBX. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And let me also say to Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint of Marla, Georgia, thank you for the lunch. It is absolutely delicious. You owe me 2 pounds, and I want them back. They are located at the Mall of Georgia. Their Facebook page is Uncle Matteo's Pizza Joint, Mall of Georgia. Tell them to everybody like the page so we can get some more pizza up here. So we're going to start with our first guest today, Joe Moss. Joe, you are with Embassy National Bank. Tell us a little bit about Embassy National Bank.
Embassy National Bank is we're a small community bank. We were formed in 2006.
Oh, wow.
And
I didn't expect that. I thought you were saying 1985.
No, I always get that messed up. we've only been around about 4 years or so, and we cater mostly to the American Asian community. So we cater specifically to mostly the Indians and as well as the Pakistani group here in the northeast part of Atlanta, which is a very large, prosperous, growing community. But we also help small business all over the southeast.
Okay. So how did you get into that niche market?
We were formed by a small group of Indians, and they felt like they needed a bank that understood their particular needs, so that was the focus. That basically shareholders were driven to try to get a bank out there to fill the need of their particular community.
Okay. Well, now, you know, we've heard a lot about banks closing and not lasting through this mortgage crisis and what's been going on the last 5 or 6 years. How's the banking business right now?
Well, I think we are kind of scratching our heads. Those of us that are still standing are trying to figure out what we're going to do next. We're in an era of new regulation that we're not familiar with and how it's going to affect our business and our customers and also our profitability. So we're trying to figure out where do we go next. Most of our balance sheets are clean. If we're still around, and thankfully Embassy is. And so over the next year or so, we're going to be trying to figure out how to be a bank again as opposed to a real estate company.
Okay. I like the way you put that. I definitely that's a good way to look at it because you technically started in 06 kind of right the minute before everything started kind of coming down with the mortgage business.
Yeah, we were right there at the tail end of it, and we were caught a little bit, but fortunately, we were able to curtail some of the stuff we were doing quickly, and we also had a good source of capital. And then we also found a good earnings stream via our SBA loan portfolio, so we got very active with Small Business Administration loans. And that enabled us to generate a profit stream that let us get through everything.
Now, you said you started right before everything started coming down. What specifically did you see that happened in Georgia that may be different from other places?
Too many banks. The state of Georgia has both banks that are chartered by the Georgia Banking Group as well as a national banking group. And there are a lot of charters that were granted by the Georgia Bank Group, And as a result, quite frankly, a lot of people believe we were overbanked for a while. And in order to compete, banks had to get out there and make some loans that they typically would not have made. And, you know, and with Atlanta being a big real estate community, we tried to build a lot of new subdivisions and build a lot of new houses, and that worked for a while. But then when the easy money stopped, all that collapsed.
It is. I can certainly see how difficult it could be competing with the larger banks here in the Georgia area. But let me ask you a question. What are some of the benefits of banking with a smaller bank versus some of the larger banks that are out there?
Well, I think that you get, as a small business owner, because that's who we cater to, and that, and also to the consumer. I believe you just get a lot more attention. And as a result, you can ask a lot more questions. You can get yourself a lot more educated about the transaction that you're getting into. We tend to add a face to everything. And so we like to say that we're building a relationship as opposed to building a transaction. And, you know, larger banks will tell you that, yeah, that's the way we are too. But a lot of those loans will get approved in another office somewhere by another loan committee. But in a smaller bank, what you'll typically find is the person you're dealing with has a say of whether you get the loan, and the loan approval process is right there in the office that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. So what is the future of the community bank here in Georgia?
I think it's good. I think it's good because I think people are looking for a more personal touch. I think people are tired of being, as we say, feed to death, where you know, you go to an ATM and the next thing you know, you got hit for $3 at one bank and another $2 at your bank. And you know, those are little fees, but they tend to really, really upset people. And I think a community bank, if smart, can take advantage of the fact that people are kind of turned off by the big bank approach, and can offer a different level of pricing as well as service to help people.
It's funny you say that about the fees. I remember when I first got my ATM card, I couldn't have been more than maybe 18, 19 years old. And my grandfather, God rest his soul, just could not understand why I would let somebody else hold my money. And they charged me to hold my money when he was like, you could just hold your own money. It just didn't make sense. But he went through the Great Depression. So his concept was very different. And when I told him I was just $2 to get it, he was like,
$2? $2, yeah. Well, it's funny because we only have one branch. And so what we do is we let our customers use other people's ATMs for free.
Oh, so now there's a reason to bank with a small bank like yours.
And mm-hmm. And we've had just yesterday, we moved a $1 million deposit into our bank. Because the gentleman that moved the deposit had gotten billed $2 from his bank for using somebody else's ATM.
He must be related to my grandfather.
And so just that, in fact, we have a little link on our website that says we don't charge for our ATMs, and that's gotten more traffic than anything. So you've got a gentleman over the years that probably has done a lot of lending and borrowed a lot of money. He's probably pays $5,000 to $6,000 every time he gets a loan and that kind of thing. But the one thing that really upset him was that $2 ATM
right.
fee.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I didn't at the time because I thought it was ridiculous until I started making actual money and someone else wasn't putting money in the account necessarily. And then it was my $2. And
right.
Now that happens 20, 30 times and you're yeah. like, I'm paying $60 a month in fees.
Right. So why wouldn't you bank with a small bank as long as you knew that you could go to any ATM around the country and get your money for free? So
I will.
You know, at Embassy, you can go to San Francisco and get $300 out, and we're not going to charge anything.
Interesting. What are some of the other services that your bank provides?
Well, we do a lot of lending to the small business owner and the small business. We do it through SBA. Which is not a very well understood program. We tend to make it real easy for people, but there are other lenders out there. When you hear the word SBA, you got to jump through a lot of hoops. But fortunately, our our position is that we're going to help you through that. We're going to do a lot of the paperwork for you. So we will lend to the small business through an SBA, but we're also doing just regular old loans to small business. And typically the way you get the relationship is if you're willing to invest money in that relationship. And then once you do that, then you can start bringing in their deposits and banking their whole business. But you got to get in through the door by lending them money and showing them trust.
Now, as far as the B2B customers, do you provide any merchant services for them?
Merchant services in terms of?
Credit card processing,
yes,
things like that.
That's a good lead into the door. Mm-hmm. And that's another area that is very price sensitive. And even though you're not paying a lot of money for that advantage, it's still an area that the small business really wants, really feels kind of used on. So we're trying to work our way into the door there. But really the best way that we've found is if you're willing to show a business that, hey, we trust you, we're going to lend you $500,000 to $1 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then we can go after those merchant fees.
Do you have a minimum of what you all lend?
Our typical minimum loan is anywhere from like $200,000 to $250,000, but we'll go all the way up to $5 million.
Okay, but business loans are your specialty.
Absolutely.
Do you do mortgages also?
No, we've looked at that, but right now there's a whole lot of regulation coming down the pike for residential mortgages. Not all of it, I think, is good. So what we're trying to do is kind of sit back a little bit, make sure we understand all that new regulation that's now being implemented. And then we'll probably go down that road. But right now, we're trying to be careful.
Okay, now you said you have no ATM fees if you use another bank, which is huge, mm-hmm. huge. You also said you get a lot of personal attention with Embassy,
yes.
right?
Yes.
What would be another reason I would open up an account at Embassy National Bank?
Well, one thing that's misunderstood about community banks is that we typically hire an outside company to do our information processing and our product processing. We use a company that provides a better bank, a platform of banking products than Bank of America or Chase or anybody. So what I like to tell our customers is that we can give you everything that B of A can give you. We can give you everything that Chase can give you. We can give you online access, we can give you bill pay, we can give you pop-up money, we can give you wire transfer, we can do anything that a big bank can do, but we'll do it with a good level of service.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say, I think I may have to talk to you later, because the fee thing definitely is one of my
things. Isn't it amazing?
It's one of my things. It's a pet peeve. I won't call anyone out, Mother, but she uses the ATM card everywhere.
Right.
Just a little reminder for everyone, you are listening to Business Leaders of Today with Angel Nowlin, the Nowlin Group Insurance Agency, and Tess Turin with Basica Marketing. I got one last question for you, Joe.
Yeah.
You guys are located in Lawrenceville.
Lawrenceville, that's correct.
Do you allow people to open up accounts online?
Yes, we do, but we're going to have to see your face before you can start using the account somehow.
Okay.
And that's not
video chat.
No, that's and that's not me. That's just regulation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand.
And that's the way of trying to keep all the terrorism out of the banking system. We want to make sure you're not a terrorist.
Right. Right. But you want to talk terrorist? I'm not paying charge you $2 to get your money.
You don't look like one, but you just never know.
Absolutely not.
Let me ask you this, Joe. The stock market is booming. Should I be worried?
I think, yeah, because we've been printing so much money. I don't know if you all play the game of Monopoly, but I studied. I'm an economics major,
and everybody wants to be the banker when they play Monopoly.
Yeah,
don't
well,
they?
Let me. You know, this holiday season, if you're sitting around playing the game of Monopoly, what I want y'all to do is, you know, when you set the initial pot of cash that everybody has to start the game. Stop about 30 minutes into the game and then just reissue everybody the same level of money all the way around the field and then watch what happens to the prices of the Monopoly game as you start bickering and bartering and negotiating as the game unfolds. And that's what we're doing now as a country. We're printing a whole lot of money. Nobody knows what to do with it because the regulations are out there on the economy. We're really not sure what's going to happen. So it goes into the stock market. So when the government stops printing money, which they're going to have to do at some point, and people start moving the money out of the stock market into more long-term type of investments, I think the stock market is in a little bit of trouble right now.
Let me just say with the printing the money thing, I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. And I have a lot of licenses, and I have a lot of credentials. I still have not figured out how to print some money in my backyard, but I'm working on it every day.
We print $85 billion of new money. I think it's every quarter.
Can I get just a little bit of that, y'all?
You know,
the value of the dollar is horrible now in this country.
I know.
It really is, yeah. I hear talk about the, is it Bitcoin?
Yeah, that's, I don't know if
what is that?
There, you know, with all the technology that's out there, a group of people got together about, I think it was about 10 years ago, and they developed what they call a cyber currency, which is a way to go out and buy this currency, which is only exists on the internet. So what it does is it allows you to buy things without the government tracking what you're buying. So, for example, if I accept Bitcoin, then you could take some of the Bitcoin that you have purchased and use that to buy my goods. If I do that, then it's subject to taxation, but who's going to trace it? Because Bitcoin never hits your checking account. So, for example, my wife and I started looking at Bitcoin and buying some, and we thought, where are we going to use this stuff? And all of a sudden, we found out that cruise liners are taking Bitcoin. Everybody's using Bitcoin. So let's say you could buy $100 worth of Bitcoin. It appreciates in value. You continue to buy some, and then you turn around and you want to use that money to go where you don't want people to know you're going. So you use Bitcoin, and you can't trace it.
Well, I could do that every Friday.
Well, think about
because I go places I don't want a lot of people to know where I'm going.
There's also been talk about the universal dollar. What's your take on that?
I don't like that. That's
do you like anything, Joe?
Yeah, I like a lot.
He
of
likes
things.
Pizza. He likes money.
The universal dollar to me is troublesome because then you got to get all the there's no more competition among large economies, which I think is very very much needed to keep everybody honest.
Interesting.
But I was going to go back to the Bitcoin thing. If Spritzer? If Spritzer had used Bitcoin in New York, he never would have been caught.
Right. Mm-hmm. I agree with our cash. He never would have been caught.
Yeah.
Why would you use a credit card?
That's right.
So that's why I pay cash every Friday at happy hour.
There you go.
What is
People
all
can't
the talk?
Track how much I drink.
What is all the talk about the quantitative
easing?
Yeah.
That's where we're printing money every month or every quarter. And we've started doing that to try to prop up the economy, but there's been a lot of discussion about whether it's actually working and whether it's just helping the rich stay rich, and if it's really helping Main Street and all that. So I think you'll start to see the quantitative easing begin to curtail over the next 2 to 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then we don't really know what's going to happen, because if you stay hooked up to heroin for so long and then you go off the heroin, right?
Well, now there's one. You know we on internet radio when someone can say when you stay hooked on heroin. I love it. Joe, you have been the best guest ever. I can do a whole routine on this. This is hilarious. I have one last question for you, though, because we got to get to our next guest, Chris. How do you all, because, Tess is in marketing and advertising, how do you all usually get your customers at Embassy National Bank?
Word of mouth.
Okay.
That's just universally the best way to get customers, tried and true. You do good work for one customer, he's going to tell another five customers.
Mm-hmm.
That's our number one. We also use a lot of the social media now. We also do flyers. A small bank like us, we can't really do anything on the radio or on TV. Too expensive. So we do a lot of social media and word of mouth.
Okay, well, again, TGIF, everyone, you are listening to the Business Leaders of Today with Angel Nallen, myself, the Nallen Group Insurance Agency. I am your business insurance specialist, and Tess Turin with Basica Marketing, your marketing and advertising consultant. And we just spoke with Joe Moss at Embassy National Bank out here in Gwinnett County. Joe, give everyone your address, your website, and the best way to get in touch with your business.
All right. Well, the website's the best way. It's embassynationalbank.com. My email address is jmoss@embassynationalbank.com. You can go to our website and we can get back to you, or you can just shoot me an email and I'll make sure that whatever you need is taken care of.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again, Joe, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Our next guest is Chris Horn from Atlanta PBX, president of Atlanta PBX. How are you today, Chris?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit about Atlanta PBX. What is it?
So basically, we offer small business, really small to medium-sized business phone systems. We generally start at three. It is kind of our minimum. And we have found that with the system that we've developed, we're able to save people generally around 50% on their phone bills. So, when we started not too long ago, I was with my other company, Core 3 Networks. Mm-hmm. And when I wanted to get a phone, the first thing I did was call Comcast. I was like, you know, I want to get two lines. And they're like, all right, well, that's going to be $198 a month. And I said, well, that's kind of absurd. So I want to see if I can figure something else out.
Right.
Well, now I had written code before for the platform that we use, and like back in 2007. And I said, you know, let's see how far the technology's come today. And I signed myself up and started using it. Well, fast forward, I started doing IT support for some companies around town. And I found out that people were paying astronomical phone bills. I mean, people with six extensions were paying like $700 a month.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I used to be one of those people.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know.
And mm-hmm. so, after I went out on my own and was doing this, I was like, there's got to be, I said, why are you paying so much money? And they said, well, that's just what you do. Yeah, no, that's not right. So I started doing some research and looking at the market and finding out, you know, what people were paying. And I said, there's a need here. And so that's kind of how this started.
So what features do you provide that you wouldn't maybe get at the larger telecommunication companies?
Yeah, so one of the things that we do is portability is a big one. When we order phones, we have them shipped to our office, we configure them, and we can either come and deliver them, or you can just open them up, sit them down on your desk, and plug them in. So what you'll be able to do is anytime, say, you get a new employee, you just call up and say, hey, we need a new line. We provision their extension, send it out, and if all of a sudden, say, you wanted to go work from Starbucks one day, you could literally take your phone, plug it into your laptop, and use it and have your desk there. So
nice.
If someone calls your extension, it would ring, which would be kind of annoying for people around you, but it would ring, and you could answer and talk on the phone as if you were there in your
Wait,
office.
Wait, run that by me one more time. Talk to me like I'm four, Chris.
Okay.
Because okay, I'm at the office,
right?
And I'm an outside. I like to be out in the field. That's my thing.
Okay.
So, of course, I usually just transfer the office phone to my cell phone,
mm-hmm.
or I have the people in the office call me on my cell phone or what have you. So you're saying that I could actually have someone take that physical phone.
Mm-hmm.
She could take it home if she just, let's say her child is sick.
Mm-hmm.
She can take it home at lunchtime and work from home and literally plug the phone in and not have to forward it, not do anything.
Correct.
And it rings the same. There's no drop calls. There's no lead time, nothing.
Yeah, and you can actually take it a step further than that, which is what we do. For instance, if I'm here, obviously I'm not in my office. So if my office phone rings and it rings twice, my phone knows that I'm not there. So what it does is it calls my cell phone, and I can see that my company name comes up on the cell phone, so I know that it's a call coming from the office. When I pick up the phone, I hit one, and I can answer the phone as if I was there at the office. So the end user that's calling me has absolutely no idea where I'm at. But the phone can actually start hunting me down. You know, I could add a third if I wanted to have, if I had a home phone. You know, after I didn't answer my cell phone, it could try calling that. And meanwhile, you're either hearing on-hold music or you're hearing the phone ring.
Now, speaking from a personal perspective, from the inside of the business, it's going to be great for me.
Mm-hmm.
For people that work for me, it's going to be tricky because I'm going to think they're in the office. And they're going to be sitting at home looking at The Real Housewives on
right.
DVR.
I was going to say, there still is this thing about, you know, when you call somebody and you pick up on your cell phone, oh, you're not in the office, huh?
Right.
You know, but if you're answering the office phone, you got, well, I've done it. I mean, right. I'm sitting around a pool, you know.
Oh.
What the heck?
In your underwear, right?
No, let's not go that far.
No, but, you know, it's very mainstream now. I mean, a lot of business owners have employees work out of homes, and people are just mobile. So right. I could certainly see the need there for that.
I mean, and that's just a small part. I mean, there's everything from when, you know, you call, you can have the what's called interactive voice response. And that's where, you know, thank you for calling, press 1 for this, 2 for that. Maybe if you press 1, it rings a certain number of phones. Or if you hit 2, it calls someone's cell phone. You can do day-night modes. You know, at 6 o'clock, I want it to say thank you for calling. Our offices are closed. Call back. Call queuing, you know, let's say you have well, our stuff comes with 10 phone lines. Okay, so every phone has 10 available lines. Now you're thinking, why would I want 10 phone lines? I got 3 people. Well, if you think about it this way, let's say somebody's on the phone, somebody else gets a phone call. Well, they're not at their desk, so the system goes and tries to call their cell phone, so that's using another line. So when it, and then if somebody else is calling, they're sitting in queue, you know, please wait, you're the next available, you know, for the next available person. You never hear a busy signal.
Being in marketing too, that can be very helpful. I actually recommended to my clients, you know, to use a back line for mm-hmm. all of their incoming leads. So I can certainly see the need there for that, for those extra lines.
I have a client who has 14 phone numbers. Mm-hmm. Okay, we provision, they're $4 a month for phone numbers. Okay, this is just a flat fee.
Used to be $200 a month for every phone.
right, it's only $4 per number?
Yes, per wow. number. And that is, things have changed. And see, that's the big thing. People don't know things have changed.
Right.
So these companies are still charging outrageous rates because people, that's what they're used to. But no one knows that, hey, by the way, things have changed. You know, it costs us probably around $290 a month. You know, we upsell it just like a dollar. You know, it's like,
don't give away your profit margin.
No, this is
no,
we
but
gotta talk.
It's almost criminal what these companies are doing. We know some of these companies, don't we?
You know what I really like about this is here's a guy that just technically really understands his product. He jumped into it because he really understood his product. He saw what other people were doing and said, you know what, I got to go fix a problem.
Right.
So, you know, when a customer calls you, they're not dealing, no disparaging, but they're dealing with someone that really understands the system as well as their problem. That's I like this.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know. Let me say this. You said no one knows. Everybody's going to know now because I'm going to mm-hmm. tell every agent I know, every business, because I'm about to move into a new office, so mm-hmm. I'm definitely going to use you because I'm telling you, these quotes, I mean, I got a couple $100 a month quote. I thought that was great.
Well, right. I'm going to know you're sitting by the pool every time I
absolutely.
Call you.
Absolutely. No doubt. I'm going to be sitting at the bar, order my martini, and I'm going to be like, oh, hold, please.
Well, and people really wonder, they're like, how, you know, what the 10 lines, it doesn't really, you know, if you think of your office phone like your cell phone, when you buy a cell phone, you don't say, how many lines do I get on a cell phone?
Right.
You just pay for it, and if you're on the phone, the call comes in, it's call waiting, you know, it works, it's the same way. It's the same concept, you know. So if you think it like when we sell phones, you know, we sell a flat rate of $33 a month per phone, okay? And that includes the 10 lines and everything. Now, you can go look online and you'll see like Vonage as of right now. I'm just going to use them as an example because it's public knowledge, all right? Mm-hmm. Their phones are like $23, $24 a month, right? But then if you go look at some of these people that have switched from other carriers, you can see that, okay, so it's $23 a month. And then if you want, you know, a call queue, okay, that's $5 a month. And if you want this, it's $6 a month. And this, next thing you know, they're paying like $50, $60 a month for a phone. And it's like, all right.
I thought it was 23.
Right, yeah. So what we did was we said $33 a month includes everything because honestly, it doesn't cost us anything. It doesn't cost us anything to add those services. They're already supported. All we do is turn them on.
From someone that's hopefully one day going to do your financials, stop telling people your profit or lack thereof. You know what's so funny to me? People always assume, because I've been doing financial planning and asset management for mm-hmm. a while now, people assume that you got to have these exorbitant rates and all this stuff to make money so your business can be profitable and make sense. And that's just not true.
Well, you know, and you say, you know, don't, you know, disclose your profits and stuff. It's the same concept as when Verizon says, all right, we're going to lock you into a 2-year cell contract for $140 a month. When you've got people like Boost Mobile and now the other people doing prepaid, they're like, no, it really doesn't cost that much.
Right.
You know, here, $45 a month, that still gives them enough profit to, you know, to maintain what they're doing. And they're coming out and saying, they're like, look, we're not charging you that much anymore because it's not, that's just not the way things work anymore. So I'm kind of doing the same thing on a phone, on a business phone standpoint.
Tell me about voice over IP. That's kind of that's what you're doing, right?
Correct. Yes.
And in 7-8 years ago, the quality wasn't that good. What's happened to improve the quality?
Our new co-host, Joe Moss, MC National Bank.
I know, these are good questions. I like this.
I love it, Joe.
I love it.
So there have been a lot of changes in what are called codecs. And it's the way, if you think of your phone as like a computer, that's really what it is. It has an Ethernet port that you plug into like you would your computer. And the way that it translates your voice into the signal that it's sending, you know, there's different forms of compression. It's like listening to an MP3 on your computer. You know, you can. There's different forms of compression that are able to make that work. So we can literally take an old school. I have a customer right now who has on an old school DSL line from like 1997, a meg and a half. Okay, and we can route 5 calls over it, which is amazing. I will say that's. I mean, to be able to do anything with that is crazy. But yes, it has come a long way. And people are like, okay, so what if my internet goes down? Well, we have backups. So if you want to send a call to your cell phone, and it's very rare this happens, you know, if your internet goes down, it's usually not down for that long. And you just need to make sure that if a phone call does come in, you get it. So we can set what's called a failover route. And that's if we can't contact you, we send it over to your cell phone and no one's none the wiser.
Now, can I keep my current number I have if I have current existing number with another carrier that shall remain nameless?
And what about faxes? Is that included as well?
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, each number is $4 a month. So, and a fax number counts as the same. An 800 number counts as the same.
Wow.
Which is really no such thing as toll-free anymore because doesn't really cost you anything. Everybody does long distance. So having an 800 number is just really kind of a novelty now. I mean, nobody cares.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just a waste of money for the person, the company that has to pay for the calls.
Right. And so that's the thing. Like, people still charge the outrageous rates for 800 numbers on a per-minute rate. You know, even though things have changed. So you're asking about the numbers, if you keep your numbers. So that's obviously one of the biggest questions we ask, you know, get asked is, you know, hey, what do I do with my current numbers? We actually, what we do is we create a temporary number for you immediately. That's so that your phones will be working like day one, all right? So we forward your current number to that, and then we issue what's called a port request to our carrier. We have right now 4 carriers, and they're just backups in case one goes down, you're none the wiser, and we handle it behind the scenes. But basically, we go to the carrier, and we show them the bill. They send it off to your carrier, say, hey, they're doing a transfer. Usually takes between 3 to 4 weeks, and once that, we get a confirmation that it's been done, and then we just remove the temporary number, and now all the calls go to your number, so... Long story short, yes, you keep your numbers.
Well, let me remind everyone out there that you are listening to Business Leaders of Today with Angel Nallen, the Nallen Group Insurance Agency, your business insurance specialist, and Tess Turan with Basica Marketing, your marketing consultant. We are talking to Chris Horn, who apparently is not going to have any idea how many calls you're about to get an email request. Because people are paying $200, $300, $400, $500 a month for these business lines.
Easy, easy.
Okay, you said Atlanta PBX. Obviously, you're a much smaller company than some of the big boys.
Right.
What else can you give us that the big boys can't give us? Because a lot of people like that name recognition. Tess is in marketing and advertising. She knows how important that is. It's getting less important, though, when it comes to dollars and cents.
Right. It's funny because when Joe was talking about how he doesn't charge for ATM fees, you know, it's one of those things where the personal touch – you know, like if you wanted to have your phone calls forwarded to your cell phone, you can either call or send an email, which gets distributed to everybody, which right now we have 3 people in the office, okay, and it is handling everything that we – because we have streamlined the process. Everything goes through our system. We know everything that's going on, numbers. I mean, we have it like clockwork. And so, you know, basically – I'm trying to think. One of the things that we have managed to do is – create an ability for you to use text messaging with your business phone numbers. I'll take a second and try to figure that out.
Chris, will you marry me?
All right.
Are you kidding?
So, no. All right. So, you know, at first when, you know, our carrier came to us and said, hey, you know, we know you do development. We just want to let you know that you can now write code against the phone numbers that you're using. And at first I was like, why would I want to do that? And then the more I thought about it, I was like, now I can have people text messages to my business phone number, and I can create applications that respond. So, for instance, we have one that's just a standard autoresponder. I could text directions to my number, and it's automatically going to respond with, you know, where are you coming from? And I can respond with, you know, one from North 85 or two, you know. Mm-hmm. And I can interact with people through an automated system. Okay, so, like, for instance, if you wanted, you know, to have a guest on the show, it's like, hey, if you want to be a guest, text guest to our phone number, and it'll ask them questions, and when they're done, send you an Excel spreadsheet of all their answers.
Did you hear that, Mike, our producer? We want that.
We want that.
Hey, that's one thing I love about technology. It allows even the smallest bank or even the smallest phone carrier to compete with everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, because let me say from an insurance perspective, as I always say, I specialize in business insurance. Of course, I do property and casualty, home and car. Now, my customers, there's no more faxing a copy of your driver's license or fax me your deck page. They're like, well, look, let me text it to you. Well, now they all have my cell phone number. So when they want to pay their bill on Saturday night at 11 o'clock, they call my cell phone or they text me. Mm-hmm. Can I text you my credit card number to take my payment? No. I say yes, and I do it, but it has created a monster.
Wait, you send your credit card number through text message?
No, they send theirs. Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh.
How comfortable people feel sending Social Security numbers, everything through text message.
I mean, I'm all about not, you know, security and everything, but I probably wouldn't send my credit card number through a text message.
They know it's not that much on it. It's fine.
No, okay.
You're old school.
There you go.
They can probably barely pay the insurance bill less than that. I can't go shopping with it. That.
Oh, there's numbers on the back of that card?
Yeah, right. They feel pretty safe. Or sometimes they literally text me a copy of their driver's license with their phone.
Yeah.
Or they take a picture of their deck page that shows their coverages and they text it.
Well, I have people send me a picture of the check they want to deposit.
Well, yeah. Right.
I went and go ahead and deposit it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, I mean, I say all that to say, so with your texting feature on your phones, would that allow all that to be, like, if you want to text a copy of your driver's license or if you want to whatever, is that something I could set up so I wouldn't have to give out my personal cell phone number?
Okay, so yes and no. One, the technology has, at least as far as I know, as of right now, technology has not gotten, with the carriers that we use, the ability to do what's called MMS, which is the multimedia.
The pictures.
Right. Okay. So, yes, we could create you 15 different phone numbers if you wanted to send messages out and have people text you. You know, we've actually had a couple of odd requests and ways to use that so that people couldn't see who, you know, whether they were texting someone that may or not have been their wife.
Oh, I love those requests.
And I said, I don't think that's really not what we do.
Right, like, let me see who he's talking to.
Right.
Texas number, call me back. Stop it.
And if I told my wife that I was, you know, helping facilitate something like that, I would never hear the end of it. So
right.
But you know that is the features that, you know, we have. You know, like I said, as far as marketing is concerned, I have a client who has 14 or 15 phone numbers.
Yeah.
So he uses one phone number when he does print. He does one when he does of television. And we can create a report based off of where those calls have come in. So to him, it all looks like the same. It's the same phone. It rings the same. You know, it's the same thing. But his marketing people can say, okay, well, you got 50 calls from this ad, and you got 10 from this and 5 from that. And it only cost him a couple bucks a month to get these phone numbers.
We need to talk after the show.
Right.
I have several clients that need that service, really. Yeah.
So it's a way to do analytics without really having to do anything. So
makes a lot of sense.
Does it work the same way on people's websites? Let's say I'm marketing several different products on my website.
Mm-hmm.
Would that work the same way?
Absolutely. I mean, you can, like I said.
Or insurance.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, for, you know, every single time you send out a new piece of material, I mean, if it's only going to cost you a couple bucks a month to add another phone number on there, just use a different phone number every time.
Your concept is the phone system is no longer an overhead. The phone system is being turned into a profit center.
Right.
Yeah.
It's actually it's actually generating money instead of costing money.
Right.
Right.
That's
and
nice.
Cheaper at the same time. So
wow.
A tool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I can just feel that little rat in my head running on that wheel. It's all, yeah, I need to definitely talk to you after this show because I've got some outrageous quotes. I thought they were outrageous.
They are.
Going back to the business to business,
okay.
do you have a specific vertical or a specific number of units that is in your sweet spot?
We have... I would say half of our customers right now are 3 to 4 phones.
Okay.
So they spend anywhere between $99 and like $130 a month. And that is everybody gets their own extension. Like I said, their cell phones ring when their phones. They get all of the features of the big, you know, like big companies have, but they get it for, you know, on a small business level. But to the end user, when they're calling, you know, we can do recordings and we can do, you know, the on hold cues and on hold music, and we can actually stream radio stations as on hold music. So we could plug in this radio station as your on hold music. I mean, I'm just saying, like, this is the type of things that we can do.
Now he's running at a feverish pace. Yes, we're going to streamline business leaders today on everybody's phone, on Chris's business. All your clients is going to get that. We're going to throw that in.
Sold.
Free of charge. I love it. Oh, my goodness. We definitely need to meet. I got it. Okay. Yeah.
But you can make a three-person outfit look like Xerox. Absolutely. Multi-billion-dollar corporation,
yep.
Right?
Right.
And when someone leaves a voicemail on your office phone, it sends you an email with the attachment that you can listen to on your phone, like on your cell phone.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, if someone calls me right now, leaves a message, I'm going to get – and I'm actually right now working on using Google speech-to-text to translate, mm-hmm. to transcript the message so that it prints it out. It's just a fun project I'm working
Very
on right
cool.
now. So I'm hoping to be able to release that soon.
Well, there's not going to be any more he said, she said. I thought you told me it was due on the 19th. Yeah. Because if I could print that app, like, no, because yep. – But then you don't want people to think you technically recorded them. But you did. But if you can print out those conversations, it would save, especially with insurance, it would save a lot of he said, she said. And I didn't tell you I hit that car. Yeah, you
right.
did.
Well, I mean, exactly I would think with voicemails, I think it's understood you're being recorded. Otherwise,
right.
you're just talking to nobody.
Right. But when someone's just talking to you, they're being.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. But you're also keeping a digital image of that voicemail
oh, right.
in this archive forever and ever, too.
You can forward the email with the MP3 in it, and they can listen to it for themselves.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
That is mind-blowing.
Oh, and one last
thing. I'm not going to like it if somebody does it to me.
Here's one last thing. You might find this interesting. During a phone conversation, at any point in time, you can hit *1, and that will start recording the call. So that's kind of...
Some people are going to get in trouble.
All right.
Hold on. Repeat that. Repeat that.
So if any point during the call, like let's say a customer, you know... And actually, the laws here in Georgia are mm-hmm. that one person has to be privy to the fact that the phone call is being recorded.
Just one.
Yeah,
that's what
okay.
I was going to ask you. My next
yes.
question was, is this legal?
Yes.
Unless
okay.
you're trying to collect a debt.
Right. Okay, wow. So there's two things. One, even in places where it's you have to tell them, you know, it's the whole, your call may be recorded for quality assurance. You know, I don't actually do the recordings, but... That, you know, something like that, you know, people know, okay, my phone call could possibly be recorded. But let's say you have a customer calling up and they're in insurance and they're, you know, doing something they're not necessarily supposed to. You can do it. All right. You know, right. and they can keep going. Next thing you know, you get an email with the phone call and there you go. Now you have it for your records.
Wow. Like I said, I'm going to like using it. I'm not going to like if somebody uses it against me.
Right, right.
I'm not going to like it at all. Even though there's not a whole lot of things I say that I won't repeat in front of everybody. So.
Well, okay, Chris. So tell the audience, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
The easiest way to get a hold of me is just go to our website, or you can give us a phone call. Our phone number is 404-850-9616. You can go to our website. It's ATL, like Atlanta, PBX.com. So ATLPBX.com. Or you can email me, Chris@ATLPBX.com. And that's be the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay, well, Chris Horn from Atlanta PBX, we appreciate you coming in today and giving us all that great information. We'll definitely be getting a hold of you soon. And also, we would like to thank again Joe.
Thank you.
Joe Moss from Embassy National Bank for joining us today. It was a pleasure, Joe.
Hey, don't forget to thank Uncle Mario's Pizza for the pizza.
Indeed.
The pizza was good. The vegetarian pizza was real good.
Well, you know, I tell y'all, the only thing better than a dead pig is a dead cow.
Oh, goodness.
So they brought all meat for me, and it is absolutely delicious.
Hopefully nobody from PETA is listening today.
Okay.
I hope they are.
You know what? And I have a mink coat, too. Get off me. Also, make sure you go to their Facebook page. It's Uncle Mario's Pizza Joint, Mall of Georgia, and like them on Facebook so I can get some more meat.
That's right. And if you missed any part of our show today, or if you'd like to be a guest on one of our upcoming shows, you can contact us at businessleaders.businessradiox.com. I'm Tess Turin with Basicum Marketing, your lead generator, helping businesses from data to doorstep.
And I'm Angel Nallen with the Nallen Group Insurance Agency, your business insurance specialist, where we care about what you care about.
We'll see you all next week. Have a great weekend.